Why should he who was far advanced in spiritual understanding, accept the same kind of bondage and impediments to spiritual advancement? To answer this doubt, Lord Brahma informed him that even those who are liberated do not resent accepting in the present body the results of their past activities. While sleeping, one dreams many unreal things, but when he awakens, he disregards them and makes progress in factual life. Similarly, a liberated person, one who has completely understood that he is not the body but a spirit soul, disregards past activities performed in ignorance and performs his present activities in such a way that they produce no reactions. This is described in Bhagavad Gita 3.9. If one performs activities for the satisfaction of the Supreme Personality, the Yajna Purusha, his work does not produce reactions, whereas karmis who act for themselves are bound by the reactions of their work. A liberated person, therefore, does not think about whatever he has ignorantly done in the past. Instead, he acts in such a way that he will not produce another body by fruitive activities. As clearly mentioned in Bhagavad Gita, Mamche Yogya Vicharena Bhakti Yogena Sevate Sarvanam Samkirtyaitam Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate. One may engage in full devotional service who does not fall down in any circumstance, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Bhagavad Gita 14.26. Regardless of what we have done in our past lives, if we engage ourselves in unalloyed devotional service to the Lord in this life, we will always be situated in the Brahma-bhuta, liberated state, free from reactions, and will not be obliged to accept another material body. Tatvadevam punarjanma naiti mam iti sovachana. Bhagavad Gita 4.9. After giving up the body, one who has acted in that way does not accept another material body, but instead goes back home, back to Godhead. Omajnana pindiram dasya jnana janishalakaya chakshurunyam kamgiyena tasmai shri gurudevam shri chaitanya manam vishwam sattu kamgiyena bhutale svayam bhutakada mayam dadati svantarantam vandeham shri guru shri uttaravarakam Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Vajnatam Vitam Tamsajivam Sadvaitam Sabadutam Paridhanasam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Sakram Tamsa He Krishna Padma Singho Dhinavando Yakkate Gopesha Gopika Kandarada Kandar Namaskude Tattakam Sanana Gauri Radha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sri Vasadi Gaurava Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama.
Here we can see how Lord Brahma is step by step persuading Priyavrata to become a king. King means he must have a kingdom, he must have a queen, he must accept opulence, he must perform his prescribed duty of protecting his citizens, and most importantly, get them out of the cycle of birth and death. Yesterday it was talked about how one has to follow the will of the Lord. And agree to be conducted by the Supreme Personality of Godhead exactly as a blind man is led by a person who has eyes with which to see. So yesterday's verse talked about that emphatic point about taking the Lord as our supreme guide, who has the eyes, and through him, taking his help, we need to proceed, walk. But Priyavrata might object that this type of action is only for an ignorant person, but not a fully self-realized person like me, Jnani and Atmarama, like Bhagavata, like me, because we see the list of qualities of Maharaj Priyavrata, which King Parikshit describes in the beginning of this chapter. So, blind following of the Supreme Lord could be just for the ignorant man, but I am a fully self-realized person. So, this verse gives answer to such an objection. As long as you have the body, as long as you have the prarabdha karma, even the liberated person maintains his body and he continues his actions as directed by the Supreme Lord. Because the liberated person living in this world also has a body, that body is given by the Lord. So one in the liberated state also continues to follow the will of the Lord. And therefore, Priyavrata, you must act according to the will of the Lord. And if you do that, you will not get entangled. So even if one is liberated, he's got a body, the body is based on past karma. He, the liberated person, how he regards the sufferings that he has to go through in executing his prescribed duties and also in executing the devotional service of the Lord. How does he perceive those sufferings? That is explained with the help of an example. A person is sleeping and he is having dreams. Prabhupada explains in the sixth chapter, a person should not eat too much, sleep too much. Yuktahara viharasya. The verse previous to that, na svapna shiyasya. One should not be dreaming too much. So, dreaming too much, Prabhupada says that, okay, dreams will be there. One can't avoid it, but one shouldn't be sleeping too much and he's getting too much of dreams. And he also emphasizes the point that by regulating the eating, certain type of air which produces bad dreams can be controlled. So dream is because you're very active. Even though the mind is active, and by controlling the eating, you can control the although you can't completely avoid them. So, when we're dreaming, we go through the experience, but when we are awake, we look at those dreams from an observer, not as an experiencer. Because while you dream, we experience good or bad. We may be eating a nice feast, enjoying all the delicacies, or we may be chased by a crazy dog which is coming to bite your dhoti, which happened to me when I was walking out of the temple and going home. You may get those things back in the dream. So you experience that as an experience that when you're awake, you see that as an observer, I had those dreams. Similarly, the person in the liberated platform goes through the karmic reactions just as a person awake from the dream looks at it, observes a dream, and thinks that that's just a dream. The side point related to dreams is that to avoid having bad dreams is you make sure that you are clean and you offer prayers to the Lord before you go to sleep, offer prayers to Krishna Master Gaurav. And when waking up also, if you have got bad dreams, you remember the prayers offered by Gajendra to the Lord. And if you remember those prayers, you can decide them to get out of the effect of bad dreams. Then, after waking up, you take permission from Mother Earth to step on her. Then, you offer prayers to the Lord when waking up, and then stepping, take permission from Mother Earth, step down, and then go down to the spiritual master, offer obeisances. Then, to quickly come out of the thick layer of ignorance, it's good to get in touch with water and wash our face so that that initial the lingering effect of the ignorance, you can quickly come out of it. So through this analogy of dreams and how you see many unreal things in the dream, but when you are awake, you disregard them. You don't dwell on those dreams unless the dreams are good, unless you are getting dreams like that of meeting a spiritual master or other sadhus in the dream, or you are going to holy places. You can relish those kind of dreams, but other dreams which are not of any value, you disregard them and you make progress in the actual factual life. There's dream life and there's actual life. So that's what Prabhupada mentions here. But when he awakens, he disregards them and makes progress in factual life. Now, what is the strong foothold or strong point of a person in the liberated state is that he starts with the correct assumption. Just like when you're solving a big mathematical problem or some problem in physics or chemistry, in the very first step you will declare some assumptions or some constants. If you get them correct, the rest of the equations, the solving of it, step 1, step 2, because from solving step 1, you need to derive something, apply in step 2, derive something, and then go to step 3, like that complex problems will be there. It will all be successful if you make the initial assumptions, declarations, beliefs to be true. we make those and then we progress step by step. Then the rest of the problems will be okay. I remember the teachers used to be pretty heavy in correcting papers when during school, that if you make a wrong assumption and start the solving the problem, even though you have written pages after, they will just try this and then put a big circle and then just give you 0 marks. You could have studied so much for a whole month or 2 months of your quarterly, half yearly, your quarterly exams, but when applying, if you make those wrong assumptions, you write pages after pages, shrama yavati kevam, that all that will be stuck and there will be relentless. In one sense, it's good because whatever mistakes you make in the quarterly, half yearly exams, if the teacher is lenient and gives marks always, then you won't correct yourself in the annual exam, in your main board exam. If you make those mistakes and learn from it during your monthly tests, your quarterly exam and half-day exam, and the teachers are pretty strict in evaluation, and they are ruthless, whatever you write, you make wrong assumption, everything else is wrong. So when you do the annual exam and the same question comes, so now you be careful, okay, I got this wrong earlier, I'll be more careful now. I will recollect what is correct and I will apply, I will start solving the problem by making the, getting the constants right, getting the assumptions right. So that is what differentiates between an outstanding student and a mediocre student. Here we can see a liberated person, he knows and he starts off his life and leading the life with this, that he is not a body, but he is a spirit. Different from the body. He also understands that his existence is in connection with the Supreme Lord. He cannot exist separately. You got an identity, and Prabhupada has an identity with individuality. That's what is the special nature of spiritual life. I'm just paraphrasing it. So you have your identity, but that is not independent. That identity is in connection with the Lord. So if you want to see yourself as a soul, you must see your part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Just because we have eyes doesn't mean that we can see everything. Only when there is sun and there is sunlight, then we can see our own self. Even if we have a best mirror, in the night there is no light, we can't see ourselves. Similarly, to see ourselves clearly, we need to see the Lord as well. So we are part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. So that way, the liberated person is always conscious of his position and the position of the Lord. Because of acting in that way, he doesn't get entangled. And that is the whole theme of this set of points which Lord Brahma is bringing out. Because Priyavrata's question or his hesitation is due to the fact that I will get entangled. I am now in a liberated state. Why should I get into these kind of entanglements? If we see the position of Priyavrata, it is not going to get married now. He is, assuming that that is the case, he is under the guidance of Narada Muni. He is Atmarama, he is a liberated person, he is going to to his posterities. The good qualities of Priyavrata are described that he is renounced, he is austere, he is devoted, and he performs renunciation, austerity, he performs penance, and he is devoted to the Lord. So through all these, what is he trying to do? We are looking at the scenario that he is not getting married and he is still continuing his bhajan. And with all these good qualities, what is he trying to do? He is trying to please the Lord. That's the goal, to please the Lord. Now, in his case, the Lord is putting him through a situation where you have learned the art of transcendental knowledge from Narada Muni, and those who are in transcendental, situated in the transcendental knowledge, when they act in full consciousness of their position and the position of me, which is the Lord's position, they won't get entangled. So why don't you take up the ruling of the earthly kingdom? Because Krishna explains that a person who is fully liberated, he has no reasons to perform any action, but and also Priyavrata point out that you said that's part of the transcendental knowledge. But the Lord can point out that saying that no, they have no reason for not doing such action also. Then what is the motivation of such liberated persons acting? It is to set an example for others. Yadyat acharati shreshas tatta teve karojana sahit pramana kurte lokastha anuvartate. To lead people who are not of such an elevated consciousness, who need a living role model in front of them, to lead, to set their life in the correct path by following them. For that purpose, we need to take up this role of a king. So in that case, you're trying to please me through your penance, your austerities, your renunciation. Applying all those, get into family life. Because Prabhupada explains in 5.1.11 purport, where Priyavrata, Lord Brahma had come to praise Priyavrata for his high standard of renunciation, austerity, penance, and devotion, so that he would not be deviated from devotional service, even though he would accept household life. So RAPD, renunciation, austerity, penance, devotion. In form of acronym like RAPID or something like that. RAPID, agency. So those who are in any order of life, in any ashram, they can learn lessons from this particular life of Maharaj Priyavrata, where he is exhibiting high standard of renunciation, austerity, penance, and devotion. So those who are in any ashram, or those who want to take up grihastha ashram, or those who are in grihastha ashram, can take a note that they have to maintain high standards of RAPD, renunciation, austerity, penance, and devotion. Of course, in our congregation, there are many such devotees who are maintaining high standards and who are inspiration for everybody. Before COVID and Mangalarti, and we used to be packed, we used to make observations as to how Several devotees are very standard, and we used to form a name that they are all like Melbourne Mahajans, who are all very pakka in the morning program. And looking at them, I get a lot of inspiration. Acute with this qualities of Maharaj Devata, he is now asked to follow the will of the Lord. He is now asked to make a choice of giving up his own personal ambitions or personal plans to satisfy the will of the Lord. Because the will of the Lord is so powerful, as explained in the previous verses, it cannot be overridden. And this will of the Lord can be, in some situations, favoring the devotees, where the Lord agrees to be put under the control or the will of his devotees. And sometimes he overrides the will of his devotees and he proves his supreme position. So in case of Narakmi, when he is convincing Prashnavati, we can see that Prashnavati wanted that his sons come back and then he can retire from the kingdom. He is convinced. Narakmi is convinced him with his graphical presentation of Puranjana, becoming Puranjani. With all that presentation, Narakmi convinces Prashnavati to renounce the kingdom. Now Prashnavati wants to properly hand over to his sons and retire, but Narakmi's will is that he must renounce now only. So he gives another story and makes him leave straight away. And he just leaves Prashnavati, leaves a message for his ministers and he renounces. In that case, the Lord did not interfere, so the Lord was also allowing that to happen. And in second instance related to Narakmi, where Lord gives special mercy, even though he didn't have any desire to give that mercy, is to the sons of Kuvera. Because Narakmi gave the word that you will be liberated when the Lord comes and gives liberation to you from your body of a tree. Because Narakmi gave the word, Lord agrees, and he gives darshan to Manikriva and Narakuvera. So in that case we see that the devotee's will is reigning supreme over that of the Lord. If we look at Lord Brahma, then he gives wounds to Hiranyakashipu. The Lord did not interfere in that, he gives the wound. And as a result of that, we see Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe and he puts his beloved son, the exalted devotee, Prahlad Maharaj, into so many difficulties. And when Narasimhadev has to appear, he made sure that he respects the boon given by Lord Brahma, and simultaneously respecting the words of Prahlad Maharaj that is your father in this pillar. Yes, my father, Lord is present everywhere, is definitely in this pillar. Oh, is it? Okay, let me try to get in the pillar. At that time, the Lord appears, keeping intact the boon given by Lord Brahma. He is appearing in a form which is adbhutam. Satyam vidatam najadvutte vashtam vyaptim cha bhuteshu akhilesh chatma adushyatam adham adushyatam Krishna. So, in that instance, the Lord keeps the He is acting subservient to the will of His devotees. And He kills Hiranyakashipu in a way that He does not break for Brahma's boon also, and He, Lord, keeps the words of Prahlada Maharaj that His confidence is that I am present everywhere, so I appear from this pillar. Whichever pillar Prahlada Maharaj pointed, that pillar the Lord appears. Adrishyatam Adhya Bhuta Rupam Upaham. Yes. Stambe Savayam Nandrugam Namamsham. Now let us take the case of Lord Shiva. When He is giving boons to certain demons or certain personalities who are going to turn against Pandavas or who are going to turn against Lord Shiva himself. We have seen several examples. Couple of them came to my mind. Is that of one demon who gets the boon from Lord Shiva and then tries to place the head on Lord, his hand on Lord Shiva's head. Basmasu. And then another boon which Lord Shiva gave to Jayadrath, if I'm not wrong, that he can't be conquered one of the days in the Mahabharata. And that happened to be the fatal day when Abhimanyu was killed. So, the boon of Lord Shiva is there, the Lord did not interfere. And when the boon turned against Lord Shiva himself, then the Lord interferes and He protects Lord Shiva also. And when Lord Shiva wanted to see the amazing form of Mahimurti, the Lord shows that form and bewilders Lord Shiva also. So, by looking at the examples of Narada Muni's Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva, sometimes the Lord agrees to be under the control of His devotees, and in other instances, He proves that He is the transcendentally supreme autocrat. Just do what is being said. So in this case, that is what is coming to Maharaj Priyavrata. And several strong examples are given. Like that of a blind man following a person with got eyes, like bulls which are tied to a pole, they just go around. And Vishnu also says that how the will of the Lord is very powerful, and the Lord cannot be understood by exalted personalities like Brahma, Shiva, Indra, Himself. And the only option is to follow the will of the Lord. In that, in Priyavrata's case, He is given reassurance that he will not get entangled. Lord Brahma subsequent verses will tell or emphasize the aspect of seeing non-reactionary work in apparently reactionary actions. Like the way the liberated persons work is by the concept of akarma. Brahma will explain that a person who has not controlled his senses, even if he goes to the forest and lives there, he is going to be entangled. Whereas a person with controlled senses like you, if you take up the kingdom and rule, still you will not be entangled. So how does the liberated persons act? That is explained. I did remind you that I was having a good delay. related to chapter 4 of Bhagavad Gita, where the concept of non-reactionary work is being discussed. Interestingly, that chapter talks about the birth of Krishna, and Krishna describes that one who knows his birth and activities will never get entangled, and they will be acting the liberated platform. And that's one of the verses which talk, of course, Tatva Deva Punarjanma Nethimami Tisodashana. So, how are the liberated persons going to act in the world, and what can we learn and understand from their action? What is the theory behind it? And that's explained in the fourth chapter where Krishna explains that one who knows my transcendental nature of my appearance and activities. So, Krishna, you seem to be taking birth so that looks like a normal, ordinary person's activity. So the unborn is getting born and you're gaining a form. So which means that must be material. And if you're taking birth means you're a normal human. If we look at the word meaning one who is free from erroneous conceptions. So fourth chapter of Krishna clarifies, yes, I may be seeming to take birth. I may be appearing to you, walking with two hands along with you, but don't assume that I am also yet another human being like you. So my body, my appearance and all that is transcendental. So one has to accept this without any erroneous conception. One has to clear all that away. And Krishna will tell his own example of he is acting. Even though he is not supposed to give any status report to anybody, that how many universes we created, how many souls are delivered, how many are being maintained, how many are being destroyed. He is not supposed to give any report to anybody. There's no one to report to him. He has got no one to report to. He has got everybody who is reporting to him. But still, he performs his actions. And he says, if I don't do it, then I'll set the wrong example. Because Krishna is quoting his own example. And Lord Brahma is saying, we are all following the will of the Lord. And therefore, Lord Brahma is persuading, it's better that you also follow the will of the Lord. And because Priyavrata, you are being guided by Narada Muni and you got this knowledge, you can see with the proper vision what action is and what forbidden action is and what inaction is. Because that's what Krishna explained. One who sees action in inaction and inaction in action is intelligent among men, and he is in the transcendental position. Although engaged in all sorts of activities, the king means he's got so many responsibilities, that's why the concept of Radha Rishi is there. So, the liberated persons perform a karma, which is non-reactionary work. Why? Because the results of all the activity is for the Lord, and when performing the activity itself, they exhibit, the liberated persons exhibit several characteristics which are described in fourth chapter as to how the liberated person acts, how a person in the akarma act. Because initially the concept of akarma is introduced, non-reactionary work. Example Prabhupada gives a non-reactionary work is that of a soldier who is fighting rapidly, is authorized to kill his enemies. And other examples are devotees engaging in devotional service. They may be engaged in singing, cleaning, jumping and dancing in the name of the Lord, cooking, these are activities, but they don't produce any reactions back. So non-reactionary work. And Srila Prabhupada, his journey to the West as a sannyasi to spread Krishna consciousness, which was against a lot of the orthodox rules, that is also a great example of a karma where he didn't have anything to gain from it, and only was to please the spiritual master. And he said, I don't know, maybe successful or not, still I'll try. So the concept of akarma is non-reactionary work. When performing non-reactionary work, the set of characteristics that are exhibited by those who are performing non-reactionary work is can be classified into 4 D's. This is from Gauranga Prabhu's notes, Bhagavad Gita, chapter 4, that he puts it nicely. Detached from sense gratification, that's the first D. Because the liberated persons are engaged in pleasing the senses of the Lord, and they are naturally detached from personal sense gratification. And second D is being detached from the fruits. The fruits are not for me, it is for the Lord. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever you offer, whatever austerities you perform, do that as an offering to me. All the good qualities of the earth, austerity, emanates, knowledge, devotion, and all that is being asked to do that for the Lord. So you detach from the fruits, and when you detach from performing those duties for the Lord, the result is becomes transcendental. That ingredients that are being offered, so this is considered like a sacrifice. The whole process becomes transcendental, the ingredients become transcendental, and the person who is doing it, he is also situated in the transcendental position. The third D is desires only bare necessities. Now these bare necessities differ from one ashram to the other ashram. And it's very crucial for Priyavrata that he can't classify him as being put in a particular ashram because he's in a liberated state. But for our discussion, from a renounced state now he is being asked to move to a position of king, to take up responsibility. And so his bad necessities would have been different earlier, but now it is going to change. So for us, what bad necessities mean is judged by the ashram that we are in, the varna that we are following. Now we don't have people who want to be officers and working, but otherwise people will dress differently at home, and then when going to office they change, they have an official dress, and accordingly they go. Now it's not the case. When you're going for a particular profession or occupation, you dress accordingly, and that's the bare minimum required for that particular profession. And if you're doing it and you're detached to it, that is becoming your bare necessities for doing that particular job well, because you're doing it for Krishna. If the situation requires that you need to, as a working professional, you need to put on suit and tie and coat and do that, you do that. But still, internally, you are a devotee. The fourth D is detached from the modes. It's a lot of detachment coming here. Detached from sense gratification, detached from fruits, detached from the modes, and he desires only bare necessities. So this talk, these desires, these talks more about action. The mentality is coming up next where you were having the 4S, which is self-control. Self here is the spiritual self, which is you. And with that, as Krishna explains that this yantra which you are going to use, this has to be used in a proper way. If you do that, then you can mitigate the miseries of this when you are living in this world and executing duties. Where up to the level of changing or regulating your habits that is being discussed in the 6th chapter, where we are regulating your eating, sleeping. Now, why such minute details are given up to the level of habits is that for conditioned souls, it's not enough just we start out with the correct assumption that we said, I believe or I have a strong conviction that I am not a body, I am spirit, soul, I am part and parcel of Krishna. Top level is good. And as Sri Krishna was explaining yesterday, we have thoughts, then actions, then repeated actions, which is creating impressions, and impressions leading to becoming your second nature, or the default settings, for you that becomes your default settings. Now change has to happen at all levels. We have made the assumption that I am not a body, I am spirit, soul, and part and parcel of Krishna, but for conditioned souls, when we learn these concepts, we need to apply the level of our thoughts, where we start thinking like we are servants of Krishna. That's a major change. And then with that, we engage in regulated activities. Activities in bhakti. With these activities in bhakti, what is happening, as Prabhupada explained yesterday, we are creating good impressions. Prabhupada explains in 6th chapter lectures that unlike the impersonalists who don't want a body and who want to merge into the Brahman, the personalists, we want hands and legs and eyes, everything. Why? Because to serve Krishna. In Vaikuntha, we want to serve Krishna, and for that purpose, we need all these hands and legs, eyes, everything. By doing devotional service, you are actually activating and enabling yourself to get that spiritual hands, legs. Because Prabhupada explains that in the material world, the spirit soul is in a material body. And material body expands because the spirit soul is there. When we go to the spiritual world, the spirit soul decides to be the same, the position is the same, but the body is also spirit soul there. You get a spiritual hand, everything is spirit there. So Prabhupada gives the difference like this. Drop of oil is in water, is different, but then the oil is put back in oil, everything is oil. So similarly, when the spirit soul is put back in spiritual body, then you got spiritual hands, legs, everything. At that time, when you are doing the spiritual body, what actions to perform, how to think, how to work, all that is in the given the devotional practices that we are doing. So our thinking, our actions, and all that has to be based on the devotional practice, should be going in that direction where we are creating strong spiritual impressions, and up to the level of habits, we are regulating our pursuits. Because if we don't do it at all levels, we may be having assumptions which is good. As I said, after that we need to solve the problem. We make correct assumptions, that's good. And after that we need to apply at all levels, thinking, feeling and willing. And that's how we become detached and you don't get any reactions. It is a gradual process. So self-control, that control has to happen at different levels. As Krishna very practically puts it in chapter 3 and 6 about how control, whereby when a soul wants to perform correct actions, what all impediments he will face. You will have enemies, the enemies are not outside, they are sitting inside you. And you need to regulate yourself, you need to regulate at all levels. By that, what you achieve is, you achieve self-satisfaction, because that is one of the characteristics by which liberated souls work. Satisfied with whatever comes by providence, with no over-endeavoring. Again, this over-endeavoring, and this endeavor, how much of endeavor, which direction to put, that's determined by the Varnana Ashram. In Priyavrata's case, he's thinking that getting into kingdom, family life, all that is over and over for me, I don't want it, but since Lord says, it is my will. Because you've got all these qualities, go ahead and engage in the ruling the world. So we saw the the satisfied, self-controlled steadiness in both success and failure. So you will, as a renunciant or as a king or as a worker, you will meet with success or failure. You will be surrounded by people who are your honest well-wishers, your friends, your benefactors, some of them will be neutral to you, some of them will be against you, envious, some people will be a mediator between you and the envious people. So one has to have a steady mind in entering those scenarios. You can apply this, because that's what you will see, these set of people and these set of scenarios. You will see in your family life, people who are supportive, not supportive, envious, against, mediators, neutral, again the same set of people, characteristics you will see when you go to work. Or in devotional circle also, it's not the exemption. You will see all these categories. So one who is able to be steady in all those scenarios. At this stage I'm not, I'm training that attend the state of the sharing. So steadiness in success and failure, and steadiness in meeting people of different mentalities, because you're dealing with all of them through your work, and that work has to be done as a sacrifice for the Lord. And that way you become detached. Now as a result of all that, is Krishna instrument with work in this, you get transcendental knowledge further. And you will be fully situated in transcendental knowledge. Now the concept of akarma and then the characteristics which are there for a worker who is acting or trying to act in a different platform, in the akarma platform is discussed. So how how we saw 4 D's and then the satisfaction and 4 S. One may think that this, all these characters is too much for me. So my suggestion is at least pick up one or two and start applying them. So we need some inspiration to do that, so pick up one or two. The second inspiration is reflecting on our own life, especially in this particular situation that we are under lockdown. Still, how the Lord is reciprocating with us. How the Lord is coming to each and everyone's house through the darshan. The situation is such that you can't come to temple, but if you think about it, the Lord is coming to everyone's house. And that too, the detail of darshan that we get with the help of Rajaraj Prabhu, how he focuses on the feet, then the thighs, then the navel, then the chest, then the lotus face. If you look at it, that's the special mercy of the Lord. Ichchabhidham is a pavakalam. Even though you don't desire, the Lord is giving such mercy. And so that can, the Lord is doing so much for me, why can't I pick up some quality that He is describing in the Gita and follow His instructions? Because by following His instructions also we are worshipping Him. One may be the secret, I can't come to temple, I can't really worship. The difference is the will of the Lord, we can't do. But despite that, He is not only transcendental autocrat, He is the supreme friend, Dhinabandhu. One who understands He is the supreme friend. And this supreme friend is giving His property to us. This material world, our body, our own self, everything is given by the Lord. So if we treat the body, mind, self, material, energy as a property of a friend, because Krishna is the friend of everybody and everything belongs to Krishna, which means it's all friend's property. Friend is guiding us. Sometimes the friend also shows tough love by putting us in difficult situations for us to learn the lesson. So, by reflecting on the mercy of the Lord, in this particular lockdown situation, how despite all the challenges, despite the fact that the Govardhan Hill was being hit by thorns of rains pouring and thunderbolt and all that is happening, is in the midst of all that, the little finger of Krishna is touching Govardhan and all the lessons are being protected. If Krishna is doing so much, why can't I start picking up some characteristics that He is recommending and apply it in my life? When we read these qualities exhibited by personalities like Maharaj Priyavrata, when we go on to chant this again and again for months together by discussing all that, that helps us to pick up, and that is first level of inspiration by reading, then our own self-regulation, and third is by reflecting on how the Lord's mercy is coming to us in difficult situations. So by that we get inspired to see action inaction and inaction and action, and through this knowledge get into rupi proper action. So I will stop there and see if there are any questions related to what we discussed.
Prabhu, you mentioned about dreams.
Yes, about dreams.
You know, there are a few factors that influence the type of dream that we get.
Yes. Prabhu, you mentioned about dreams and also some of the factors that influence the type of dream we get. Some of them may be very easy. Some of them may be like dreams related to connection to the dream god, or sometimes they are very very difficult dreams and they experience even pain. Actually, we are knowing, especially if they are difficult ones. Yeah. So what are the factors actually influence towards divine dreams, and what are those that influence towards difficult situations?
Hare Krishna. That's a complex question.
How do we diet of it so that we get most of them on the way?
Okay. I turned it up.
How do we make sure that we get divine beings? Avoid the bad ones. When you're practicing bhakti, you start the cleansing process. And when doing bhakti, you get a lot of good impressions and desire to do more bhakti. These impressions go into the subconscious mind as well, the good ones. Like when you see you're visiting the Dharma, you're meeting spiritual master, you're getting instruction, you're taking personal darshan, you're serving them. It is good to relish, and just as a cow sometimes takes out the food and chews again. So, it is good for us to relish those sort of good memories that we have to get inspiration to do further. And then the more that we get, that goes deep inside. And for some reason, we are not able to do that level of intense devotional activity when we are restricted. For example, in my case, I'm restricted from doing certain type of services. If I want to do also, body doesn't allow, but the desire is there, the push is there, then that may appear to be in dream. This is the good side. Now the negative side is that, at least I can speak from my side, when the higher base is growing and you're applying bhakti, it also brings out the, for cleansing purposes, it brings out the lower nature, those actions which you have done in the past, which are not good, which are not conducive to bhakti, which you are not restricted from doing, depending on the intensity of the impression, now that you are restricted, that will be brought out in the dreams. So the best remedy is to offer prayers to the spiritual master, Guru Parampara, the six Goswamis, Sarva Goswami Ashram. If you read in the prayer song book, they have given word to word meaning, where the Goswamis profusely give blessings and they give you songs which glorify the Lord. And they take you away from sinful reactions also, one of the means.
I think, do we have
Samruk here, and that we can go and check that Sarva Goswami Ashram, if you read with the word for me. So, in that is one aspect, to pray to the Lord for protection and for pray to the devotees for protection. Despite your best efforts of praying, protection, if you get some bad dreams, Prabhupada explained that whatever you had to experience in real life, the suffering, a token reaction is given to you in the dreams. You wake up with the horror and you sweat and you say, oh, it's just a dream. I didn't have to go, but you went through it, not with your cross body, but through your subtle body. Some reactions. Personally, when those things come, it makes me humble and think that I am still work in progress and devotee. I still have these things that are coming up, and I thank the Lord for reducing the intensity of my reactions. So that's why going through all that, the key point is you should maintain devotion. Because despite your present manifestation of the body, which is the reaction of your past sin and good and bad reaction, the present body is the manifestation. Despite that, do bhakti. So that's one of the points mentioned in the purport also. So don't worry about the past, that's the point I forgot to mention this. Don't be hung up on the past. And despite having a bad past, work on the present. Because every saintly person who is now a saint today might have had a sinful background in the past. So every saint has a past. Might be sinful, may not be sinful, but every sinner now has got a bright future because he's taken up bhakti. So, getting too hung up on the past and not being able to concentrate on the present, that is something that we shouldn't be doing. And instead of that, despite suffering the reactions of the past activities, one has to offer prayers to the Lord with body, mind and words. That's the famous guideline verse that they become palm. Susamikshama Bunjana Evakam Kritam Vipakam Hridva Apurvit Vitatam Namaste Jivedeva Mukti Padesa Daya. So, don't dwell on the past so much because that's going to come up either in the dream or... So that's why the liberated person disregards the past activities performed in ignorance and performs his present activities in such a way that he does not produce any reactions. So don't be caught up in the past. Current activities do through guidelines of akarma, and when the reactions come, tolerate, think that this is just a dream. Okay, thank you. We'll conclude here.